How we doing, all right? Good. This is amazing. My name's Tim. I'm one of the assistant pastors here. I facilitate the addictions ministry. This is my wife, Kathy. That's a joke.
Lucky.
Mrs. Lucky, you know? In case, wow, this is a tough crowd already, babe. Man, oh, man. That just gets me fired up, you know what I mean?
That can be dangerous.
That's going to be dangerous. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord. And I just always remember Mr. Jean when I was a kid. And he told me and Buddy Osborne about Jesus. And we got jammed up and Buddy went to jail. And then we got saved. And we often talk about Mr. Jean because he had a children's ministry. Lord God, so I just thank you for these people here today, Lord. Just continue to bless them, Lord. Show them grace and mercy when they get tired. Show them grace and mercy when a kid is screaming in their ears. But most of all, Lord Jesus, you be glorified today in this workshop. You be glorified for these last few days that we're here and what's going on. When we roll out of here at the end of this conference, we leave here a little bit different than how we came in because of your word and your grace and your mercy. So we just want to commit this half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it takes, Lord, to you. And you be glorified in all of our words and our thoughts as we sit here. Jesus, it's all about you. It's in your great name we pray. Amen. Does anybody here go through warfare? Seriously, raise your hand. Does anybody here don't understand what warfare is fully? Mm-hmm. Spiritual warfare. The ongoing battle against spiritual forces of evil in the unseen realm. The true enemy is the devil and his schemes. The schemes which attempt to derail God's purposes and turn his people away from faith. Some interpretations focus on dramatic power encounters with demons. Spiritual warfare can also manifest itself in everyday occurrences in life. That's a definition, and a few people can put that definition together. But I would like to start with this, just because I want Scripture to be glorified here, in most of it, and the Lord be glorified through his word. You don't have to turn there, but I'm sure you probably already have it open, being this is about warfare and perseverance in the warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Also, Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 1 John chapter 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That meaning the spirits that don't confess Jesus, that was what he was talking about there, because he that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. One of the main, so Pastor Chris comes up to me and he says, last week, Pastor Tim, we're doing, you know, the children's ministry, we're doing workshops on stuff. And I'm like, yeah, great, man, you know. And he says, I heard you and Kathy share a while ago when you were shopping for the addictions ministry at Sam's Club because we have a picnic. We have over 400 addicts and alcoholics every Labor Day, Memorial Day. And you and Kathy were shopping for a picnic, and you guys got in a big fight when you were shopping at the picnic. And I'm like, yeah. And he said, I wonder if you would do the workshop on spiritual warfare and the perseverance of walking through that when it happens. And I said, yeah, sure. I'll ask Kathy. And he went, he was a little, you know, because all the pastors are just doing these workshops, and he goes, yeah, great, you know what I mean? And I went home and told her, and she was floored, you know what I mean? She's up here today is, the reason she's up here today is because when I go through warfare, she goes through it with me. I'll share on the road later about it a little bit. From this year, from like April 2nd, April 8th, to maybe June 2nd, I could not sleep unless she was laying next to me holding my hand. I could not sleep unless she was laying next to me holding my hand. At one point, I had warfare. I grew up in Kensington. I was a little kid. I was scared to be in a shed because it was scary as in a kid's mind. And at one point, while serving in the ministry, I was back in Kensington as an adult, back in that house, and this entity was trying to come through the door of the shed, and I was holding the door of the shed like this, and I was pushing my body against it. I never experienced, I prided myself, me and Buddy Osborne prided ourselves in being able to fight the toughest guys in the bars. We had so much pride with being tough guys and all that kind of stuff. I never experienced fear like that in my whole life. I remember her waking me up and holding me, and we were praying. I'm very emotional today. I wake up in the morning to take my clothes off to get in the shower, and I have a black and blue mark of a doorknob on my stomach. And she was saying to me, it was so evil. It was so dark. I'm saying, you ain't telling me nothing, babe, you know? The next day when I got in the shower, the black and blue mark was gone. And I'm like, this is from the devil. This is warfare. This is warfare. I want to share about that one incident just to get us started. I'm not going to get into it. You're so pretty. I'm not going to get into it. She is. Yeah, some do.
This is why I married him.
No. I remember I was teaching one time. Dude says, Pastor Tim, you ever have a vision? I said, bro, I had one vision in my whole life. I said, this blonde chick walked past in front of me in front of a bar. That was the only vision I ever had. And I said, I'm marrying that girl, man. You know what I mean? That's the only vision I had, you know? But I want to share about that one incident, because when I went home and told her we're going to do this, the warfare in our home, the heaviness in our home, the last 3 days about trying to put this together was off the charts. I got to the point where I almost turned around and I said, you're fired. You're not doing it with me. You know what I mean? But not me. We both understood what was going on. So I said, just come sit next to me, babe. And I'll just blow some questions out here and just intercede when you can, because she goes through it with me. All the time at night, forever, always, all the time at night, 3 times a month, 5 times a month, 6 times a month, she wakes me up holding me praying with the warfare. At one point, there's a cow at the end of my bed, an ugly cow at the end of my bed. A lot of times, and I think it's my dreams, but I'm almost awake. She's walking, like I said, how pretty she is. She's walking toward me with that face of hers, whew, and it turns into a demon. I mean, it draws me in. Satan draws me in, and then the fear comes. And she's holding me, waking me up praying. We go shopping for the addictions ministry. The place is packed. People are dying. I'm doing funerals. And a lot of that's going on, but we had no help. It was just me and her. We were doing everything. And so we go shopping for this picnic. But that morning, we were bickering, okay? Just one of them things. So we got to shop for the picnic, and it's me and her, and we got to get enough food for 300 people, and we're going through Sam's, and she's getting on my nerves and all that stuff. And like I say, she's like, I say, yeah, get two ketchups. She walks around with four ketchups. I said, what are you doing with four ketchups? I told you two ketchups. She said, babe, we need two ketchups. I mean, need four ketchups. And I'm thinking, just do what you're told. You know what I mean? Not really. I'm just like little things like that were rolling out. By the end of we were shopping, we were outside in the parking lot, and we were so much at one another's throat, I threw a giant pack of paper plates, boom, down the parking lot. And that's what I shared in front of all the part of the congregation one time with all the pastors. And Chris said, since that, Timmy, and since what's been going on in my life lately with warfare, the pastors lay hands on me often because of the warfare. Not that they don't go through it, but for the longest time, people were telling me, you got the toughest addiction in Calvary. Kids are dying, and you got the toughest, you know, and I ain't digging that. I'm not a prideful guy. But then I start thinking sometimes, oh, this is a rough one. But I learned something again. I have a trailer. At the end of the property, there's the addictions trailer down there because, you know, they come in drunk, they come in high, they're smoking and all that. And Joseph, we got to keep them away from the kids. But when you guys do that soccer camp, I can't get nothing done because I sit in that trailer and I got the door open and I got the blinds up and just watch you people with them kids. And I said, I wish I never had a catch with my dad. But I remember Mr. Jean. And I grabbed Chris this year. I did. I grabbed Chris this year. I said, Chris, I got to talk to you, bro. He's like, what? I said, thanks for blessing me every day out there with them kids with the soccer camp. He's like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? He's rolling in children's ministry because that's what yous do. I said, this is the most important ministry in this church. This children's ministry is the most important ministry in this church. And I can't imagine the warfare, the tiredness you go through. I can't imagine what you go through. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. So I throw the whole thing of paper plates and we get in the car, we make up and all that kind of stuff. And I said to Kathy, she's like, I'm not big on warfare. Well, I am now, but I wasn't. I wasn't big on warfare. She's like, Timmy, that's warfare. I'm like, so you're going to jump in here because you understand what I'm saying to you. I say, how do you know it's just not my flesh, babe? How do you know it's just not my flesh?
Well, and that's what we did talk about, that, you know, like it first comes in, things in this world are going to happen. You know, there's hard things that happen, you know, like, you know, shopping together when we each have different ideas of how it's all supposed to go. Of course, I have the better ideas, so, you know, it's hard
listen
to, like,
to
get them to...
I said to her the other day, I said, I got to sit you down. I said, sit right across from you. I said, babe, I'm making a presidential decision right now, but I just wonder what you think about it. You know what I mean? We were under so much pressure in that ministry shopping at them picnics.
But I think what we began to understand as, you know, you're going through that type of stuff, and I'm sure you guys all see it as well, that, like, it's not about the hard things that happen. It's not about, you know, like, the shopping, you know, having to do all this stuff or, you know, having to get up early or having to run here or run there. It's, you know, like, you know, even like a flat tire, you know, like, that's not warfare. It's what we do in the flat tire or in, you know, the shopping together and having different ideas. Like, it's like not going to the Lord with, you know, each individual, you know, time that it happens, you know, that we're not going to the Lord. We're not grounded in the Lord. We need to come back to Him and say, it's okay that, you know, we have different ideas. It's okay that these things are happening. But how am I going to react in the situation? You know, that's where the fiery darts can come. That's where, you know, we let our guard down. And I think that's what we came to realize through so many situations.
You put it to me. You said, what we decide in the flesh will determine whether or not the paper plates are thrown in the parking lot or not.
Right.
That's what you said to me. I'll say that again. What we decide in the flesh will determine whether or not the paper plates will be thrown in the parking lot. You're not taking it to the Lord, Timmy.
Right. Like those decisions, you know, we're at a crossroads. You know, are we going to continue to bicker and be prideful and let all of those things come in? Or are we going to hand it over to the Lord and let him, you know, be the leader opposed to, you know, just reacting in the flesh?
Yep. And I really, up until about, I mean, I've been in ministry for a lot of years now, doing the addictions ministry for a lot of years now, but for the longest time, I would poo-poo warfare. I would just poo-poo warfare. I would start to believe for the longest time because I don't feel like I'm important, or I don't think God would, I don't think Satan was looking for me. I would really think, all right, I'm going to stop eating before I go to bed. Like Joe always jokes around and says, is it warfare or did you eat a pepperoni pizza before you went to bed? I was eating a lot of pepperoni pizzas before I went to bed. You know what I mean? I would leave the addictions ministry and go to McDonald's, man. You know? And then, but I started realizing it is warfare. How it is warfare and what it really means. I remember before I was a pastor, I went to this place up. Pastors would go away for 3 days of prayer. And Joe invited me one time because I was helping out with the addictions ministry. And I just started doing a Bible study with the addictions ministry here and there. And Joe invited me to go to prayer up to this place. Fred and Ilsa owned this beautiful place up in New York, like 3 hours away. And we would go up there for 3 days of prayer. And I remember I got attacked while we were up there for 3 days of prayer. And I remember an older pastor who passed away now years, he calls me in the back room. He says, come here. He said, I couldn't believe what happened to you last night. I'm like, yeah, man, it happens. You know, I shouldn't have ate that sandwich before I went to bed. This is what I'm thinking, you know. And he said, man, the Lord's going to do something with you. The Lord's going to do something with you. And I'm like, I don't know about that. And I'm not about that. And I just poo-pooed it. I really did. And then all of a sudden, it started happening more and more at night with us. I would find myself getting frustrated over things I was never frustrated over before. Stuff like that. And I would come home, and me and Kathy would pray, and she would tell me, it is warfare. It's true, Timmy. It is warfare. And it is. It's there. It's true warfare. It's horrible. And it's for real. And it's for real. You want to share something in a second, babe?
Well, I just...
Because you got a lot of notes here. I didn't expect these notes. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you what happened, man. She's like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. I can't get in front of them people. I'm like, baby, just got to roll with me. You know what I mean?
Well, she doesn't let me get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. She's like, Timmy, we have to do this. We have to do that. I said, nah, we'll just let the Holy Spirit lead, babe. And 4 hours later, she's like, maybe we'll just write some things down and all. You know what I mean? I said, just let the Holy Spirit lead, babe. You know what I mean? So the next day, I said to myself, are you stupid, Timmy? I go out there. I give her a hug. I said, hey, babe. She said, what's that? I said, let's take a couple hours. I went and got her a pad and a pencil, a pad and a paper, and I got me a pad and a paper. I said, sit down. Let's put together what we're going to do. And she's like, yes. You know what I mean? Oh, did I bring my phone up here? Just give me 1 second. Just let me read this from Chris Clark. You got to let me read this from Chris Clark. I hope I can find it. Bear with me. Did you say you're going to pray for her? Did I hear you say that?
Thank you.
Oh, different. Hang in here. I got a couple more to go. Please, Barry, don't get up and leave. Come on, Chris. Give me a couple more seconds, please. So what I did was I texted Chris. I said, Chris, help my wife out, man. Tell her what we're going to be doing. And he sends her this, I can't find it. He sends her this big, amazing text. Explains everything to her, how we're hoping it can roll out. If we can just pray about doing this, and we can just pray about doing that. And I'm like, that's amazing. And you know how she responded to Chris? She said, my Timmy is a man of minimal words. But that's what he said, but not like that. She said, now I got clarity. You know what I mean? So what I did was, I'm thinking, I got to help her. I got her own pad, her own pen. I said, all right, let's do this, babe. And I'm writing it down a point. I said, put number one at that point and put number two at that point. And she's putting number two at that point. I said, put number three. And she writes, I said, you put number three. She's like, no. And now I'm getting aggravated. I said, no, babe. I said, no, just put number three there because I want to bring up number three. And she's like, okay. This goes on for about 45 minutes. And she's saying, I have nothing in my brain, Timmy. You know? I said, you're fired. I'm going to do it myself. Didn't we?
Well, I said, I don't really know what it is. Like I said, I'm really asking for the Holy Spirit to just tell me, to explain to me, like, what it is that we're supposed to share and come alongside you. Like, yes. And I said, what do you want me to do? And your exact words were actually, stop being a hindrance. And I was like, and you know what? I thought to myself, this is such a great example of how the enemy can get in. And you know what? My feelings weren't hurt. I wasn't aggravated. I just smiled and I said, you know what? I know this man loves me and I know he thinks I'm great. So I'm not even going to let the enemy, you know, tell me any lies about how insignificant I am and how much I don't have to offer. Like, I'm just not going to believe that. And I thought, this is such a great example of how the enemy can get in, because I could have, you know, gotten all sullen and had my feelings hurt. And I was like, no. I'm like, no, Lord, I'm not going to let the enemy in to come in and disrupt what it is that you want to do. You know, and like, I think a lot about, you know, when he, you know, the stronghold, you know, that pattern of thinking, you know, that holds us captive to certain behaviors. You know, and like, I think about, you know, those things that we go through, and, you know, and we go back to the scripture, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Like, we can't let him, you know, start to creep in those times, and just like remembering that, you know, we're fighting from a place of victory. Like, he, you know, he thinks he's going to come in and he's going to disrupt and he's going to do those things that cause havoc and it can even just be hurt feelings. He doesn't have to come as like a bull with red eyes. Sometimes, you know, it's more effective to just, you know, break down families and relationships with those little things to, you know, render us ineffective. And, you know, sometimes, you know, those manifestations, those strong, powerful manifestations that can happen, that do happen, aren't his greatest tools. Mm-mm. It's those, you know, those quiet things that he does to undermine families. You know, like, you're fighting before you even come to church to minister to the kids, you know, like, and, you know, so you just like paste on a happy face, but really inside you're, you know, you're really struggling. You know, the other scripture that came that I actually wrote down here in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And like, that's what we have to do on a regular minute-by-minute basis, is like continually take those thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And so, like, he calls us to think on those things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and praiseworthy. But that has to be intentional. Like, we have to make sure that when the enemy's coming in with those fiery darts to undermine and create, you know, those times of upheaval, that we take it back to Christ and his promises.
You know, it's interesting. You said when you mentioned stronghold, you said a pattern of thinking that holds the believer captive, and how you said it there. You're big on telling me about my brain. You're big on telling me how I think, because, you know, I usually make a joke at the addictions ministry, and I'll make one here. Rodney Dangerfield, you know how he's always busting on his family and everything. He said, my wife is so ugly, when you open up the dictionary to the word ugly. My wife's picture's in there, you know? And I said to her, Satan gets such a stronghold in my mind sometimes. If you open up the dictionary to that word stronghold, my picture's going to be in there. Because I wanted her next to me because I never would think her more powerful or more stronger than our Lord. But I, a lot of times, believe I cannot get past warfare without her, because she just keeps bringing me back. She keeps talking about my mind. She's like, Timmy, don't let your mind go there. Timmy, you're letting your mind go there. And this is actually 1 year, right, like a month before last Thanksgiving. I don't know. I just wasn't right. I was tired. I wasn't feeling right. I got 14 stents. I had another stent surgery a couple of weeks before, and I'm thinking, I never struggled. I never, ever struggled with, I've had 3 heart attacks, 14 stents, triple bypass. Now they're not even stenting me no more. They're lasering it. I never struggled with that. You got this, God. I never thought anything about it. I was never worried about it. Never worried about it. And so last October, all of a sudden, I was tired. I wasn't feeling like myself. I'm thinking, I'm not going to die. They just cleaned my heart out. And then actually, you know, people were getting on my nerves. There would be people I would see coming towards me in the ministry who keep relapsing and relapsing, and I sent them to 6 rehabs, and I see them coming towards me, and I would literally say, Lord, would you be angry with me if I just hide my face so they don't see me? I was going through that. I was getting lazy. Putting together Bible studies. I take 7-8 hours every week to put together a Bible study. I would just cram it in 4 hours. You know, I would see somebody that was really horrible in the ministry and everything, and then they come to me and say, yeah, my uncle left me $500,000, and then I'm getting jailed. Like, all this stuff was hitting me for real, and I'm a pastor. And that was October, November, December. And I said to my son after December, we had the Christmas party. I said to my son, man, what'd you think of the Christmas party? Yeah. And I said, yeah, wasn't it a good study and everything? He's like, yeah, yeah, and all that. So just remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind. So all of a sudden, January 8th, at 2 o'clock in the morning, bam, I get woken up out of my sleep, drowning. I can't breathe. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, look around. I wasn't scared. This ain't warfare. Man, no, it ain't my heart. It can't be my heart. No, I'm good with my heart. And I started having a panic attack. And she was at work driving school bus, and I called my son on the phone. I said, get over here. Something's going on with me. My son comes over, and he starts talking about it and all. And I said, man, what's going on here? I wonder why this is happening. He said, I'm nothing. Daddy, a panic attack? I'm like, yeah, this is different. You know what I mean? I'm telling him, you know what? I'm going to wind up in Friends Hospital. I did 2 tours in Friends Hospital because of drugs. You know what I mean? And it's like psychiatric ward. And I'm saying to him, I'm going, no, I'm going to wind up in the psych. He said, whoa. And she said to me all the time, that's where your brain goes. And that's where Satan gets the foothold by the stronghold he has in your mind. She pumps me with that all the time. So this is January 8th. And you know what? I didn't sleep for 4 days. No sleep for 4 days. 3 water bottles sitting on the counter. I'm watching the water bottles wobble because I didn't sleep. I call over here. I said, I called one of the pastors. I said, you got to get over here. 3 pastors came over, laid hands on me and prayed. I slept 3 hours the next night. I'm thinking, okay, this is good. I don't sleep for 3 more days. I'm like, man, this is crazy. What's going on here? So I go to my doctor, and my doctor says, look at your bottom lip. I'm like, yeah. He says, it's swollen. I'm like, yeah. He says, you got heartburn? I'm like, all the time. He says, you got anxiety. You got anxiety, man. You got anxiety. I said, I ain't got anxiety, brother. You know what I mean? I said, okay, thanks, and all that kind of stuff, right? January, February, I'm not sleeping. I'm literally not sleeping. I am not sleeping. And just today, I realized it was warfare. Because you know what happened after I left that doctor? I called my heart surgeon. I said, bro, something's happening with me. He's like, what? I said, my heart's pounding out of my chest. Every time I eat, there's a pounding here, and it ain't my heart. He's like, Timmy, there's nothing wrong with your heart. I'm buddies with him. Been with him since 2005. I'm like, nah, bro, something's not right. He says, listen to me, you got anxiety. My car, I said, I'm done with this anxiety thing. I lose 29 pounds because I'm not sleeping, and I'm scared to eat because I get this pounding. I called my car, I was on the phone. I said, bro, you're my man. I love you. He said, come in Friday morning. I'll go in and look. Catheterized me Friday morning, went in there. First time ever when I got cath, he said, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. And I'm like, then how come when I eat, my heart pounds out of my chest? He says, your heart don't pound out of your chest. Yes, it does. He said, you need to go see a stomach guy. Right? I go see a stomach guy. Stomach guy puts a camera in me. They're looking here. They're looking at my esophagus. They're looking at my belly. Stomach guy comes back to me and says, yeah, it's acid reflux with anxiety. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with your stomach. I'm like, no, I can't eat. I lost 29 pounds. January, February, March, April, and I started holding her hand. Babe, I can't sleep at night. I can't sleep at night. She would come out. What would I be doing when I couldn't sleep at night?
You'd be pacing and wringing his hands. And I kept trying to say to him, that's where the enemy's getting the foothold.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to him. You're mm-hmm. pacing. You're wringing your hands.
You're going to your cardiologist. You're going to the stomach guy.
You're going to every doctor, and every doctor is letting you know you're fine. You know, like, and again, that's where the warfare comes. It's not about, you know, like the different illnesses that happen or those things. It's what we do in, you know, in those everyday moments that will determine whether or not the enemy gets a stronghold. And he got a stronghold. He was pacing and you know, like he loses 30 pounds. I'm like, that is so unfair. Like, Lord, can I have a little anxiety, you know? But you know, like I like, you know, he's losing weight and you know, he's pacing and then, you know, between the two of us, you know, like, you know, we're praying, you know, yes, we're holding hands and we're getting through this. And he's saying, you know, people are telling me like I should take a sabbatical, maybe I need to step away from ministry. And the thing that was on my heart was like, that is the last thing that you should do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep your hand to the plow. Don't look to the right or the left. Mm-hmm. Just keep, you know, pressing on in the Holy Spirit and with the Lord. And like his, you know, those voices were so strong. Like, no, you're sick. Go to this doctor. Keep going to the doctor. And I, you know, I just kept saying, no, like no more doctors. You know, we're going to the Lord with this. You know, we're going to start to, you know, practice like gratefulness and thankfulness and, you know, and those things, you know, think on those things that are true and lovely and pure, right? And let's like do some eternal examination, you know, like are, you know, what are the fruits of the Spirit that are alive and well and flourishing? You know, do we have peace? No. You know, do we have joy? No. You know, like
I was angry at her for telling me this. A few people are telling me this will pass. I'm like, it's not passing. It's not passing. You know, I was just consumed.
Because I think we can become consumed with the passing of it instead of asking the Holy Spirit to continue to walk us through it. You know, like he didn't say it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Like we have to hold on tight to him. You know, it's like there was no patience. There was no kindness. There was no gentleness, you know, like self-control. No, you know, and like I think, you know, that as we continue to walk and to pray and to ask the Lord, you know, to help us to look on those things that you have shown your faithfulness in the past, like the things that he has brought us through. He has been so incredibly faithful. And I would remind him, like, remember heroin addiction, single motherhood, you know, cancer and heart attacks. And, like, I said, do you know how many times I held your big size 13 boots in my lap waiting for that doctor to come out and say, you know, oh, everything went okay. You know, Timmy really knows his body. Like, wow, you know. Or, like, you know, Kathy, we're really sorry.
Oof.
You know, he didn't make it this time, you know, and I kept trying to say to him, like, he has seen us through time and time and time again. Like, I want us to, you know, concentrate on that fact that, you know, he has brought us through, and we need to practice thankfulness and gratefulness and remember his faithfulness in our lives. Like, you know, we look at our kids, you know, they're walking with the Lord, our grandkids, you know, walking with the Lord, and you know, you can't ask for more than that. And so in all of that, you know, I think, you know, the stronghold, and why I think, you know, that Tim even asked me to come up and sit here next to him was because, you know, it's like you're going through that, and we need each other.
Yeah.
We need someone to come alongside us, and, you know, when we're in that place, and to be able to pray and to remind and to exhort and edify, you know, each other, you know, through these times of trial.
One of my favorite pastors says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done to all that stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. That word waist actually is loins there. And he says, so the loins is a personal thing. So, but when you're alone with the Lord personally, and your mind just can't figure it out because the fiery darts and the enemy are coming, he said, get with somebody, get with your wife, get with your family, get with people in church. He would say, get with somebody. And that's what I did. I told all the pastors I'm going crazy. I told them I'm going crazy. I mean, 8 weeks ago, I was teaching the Bible. I was doing it 8 weeks ago, and the pounding started happening in my stomach. And I'm thinking, I ate healthy. I ate yogurt and fruit. I said, maybe that's a problem. I should have had a couple hot dogs. You know what I mean? For real, it's crazy. I wanted to. I looked at Josh the plumber. I looked at Josh while I was teaching, and I remember Kathy saying, "Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going." And I looked towards her way, and she's sitting in the back, and she's got her head down, praying for me. And I knew it was warfare, because people came up to me afterwards and said, "That blew me away. The way the Lord shared the word with me tonight, and what you said blew me away. I knew it was warfare." And Josh the plumber comes up to me afterwards, and he said, "What happened?" I said, "Josh," I was ready to say, "Josh, take over." I wanted to run out of that Bible study in front of all them people. I wanted to stand up and run out and just pace in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "No, Timmy. No,
well, and
Timmy."
That's the moments where the enemy gets that victory, you know, when we let that fear, you know, overcome, mm-hmm. overcome us. So, like, I'm like super, super proud of you for mm-hmm. taking hold of the Holy Spirit and letting him take a hold of you and moving forward mm-hmm. and not succumbing to those lies.
We're actually leaving for North Carolina. We got 7 days in North Carolina with family friends of ours, get one of them big houses, you know, and I've had a good 11 days. There hasn't been any pounding for 11 days, you know, and we sit down yesterday to do this, and the pounding starts when we sat down to do this. And what do you think I said to her? I said, "North Carolina is going to be ruined. I'm pounding again. It's going to
He's
happen in
nothing.
North Carolina." Yeah, she said. She's like, we're doing a warfare conference. What do you? You didn't learn nothing. For real.
I know. Like, are you really going
to
run with that
That's
again?
What he said to me.
And he's like, "Oh,
it's
you know."
Warfare.
And it is. It's a true struggle. It really, really is.
I woke up this morning. I took a walk from this park. I do it 8 times. It's a mile. I feel so good. I feel so good. And I'm scared I'm going to wake up tomorrow and not feel good. The enemy's jumping on me. I called her. I said, "The enemy's on me, babe. The enemy's on me." She's like, "Put on the armor." When we were putting this together, and I let her get her pen and paper, I let her have her own pad, and she's writing everything down. She's like, "Yeah, warfare is this, warfare is this, and warfare is that." I said, "Don't reinvent the warfare wheel. We all know that stuff, babe." And she's like, "Okay." And then a half hour later, I'm telling her, the pounding's happening again. and I'm not going to do North Carolina. And she's saying, didn't you learn anything yet? For real.
He has.
This is really the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, doing what is right. It's like, I think of that, all right, well, how can righteousness help me when the warfare comes and everything? You know what? Think of what is right. Think of, that's what righteousness means.
What is right and true.
What is right and true. True. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, and I said, look, all we got to do, all we got to talk about is just this one verse. And she's like, what's that? Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's all we got to do, babe, because I got to fight the fiery darts. She said, no. She said, you got to do this. She said, you got to put on, gird yourself waist with truth. She said, you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. She said, you got to put on the helmet of salvation. You got to shod your feet with the gospel. And I'm like, you're right. You're absolutely right. I said, what have I been teaching for 15 years at the addictions ministry?
Yeah, you can't break that armor up. It's the whole armor of
That's
God.
That's right. It's the whole armor of God. It's the whole armor of God. I'm not scared. I used to say it's scared. She said it's scared ain't a word. I'm from Kensington. I said, the Phillies won the World Series. She said, you're 65 years old. There ain't a such word as
when. No, when I first met him.
When won.
He told me when I first met him, he said, the Phillies won the Super Bowl, the World Series. And I said, did you just say when? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, that's not a word. He said, yes, it is. Win, when, won. And I was like, oh, man, what am I getting myself into? So he still says when.
First date I took her on EL. She's a suburbanite. I took her on EL. We rode EL. Took her on EL. Then I take her to a Chinese restaurant. We're sitting here eating Chinese food, so I got to blow my nose. So I pick up
the red linen napkin
and blow my nose. All of a sudden, she's like going like this. I thought she was having like a seizure. I'm like, what happened? She's like, you blew your nose. And I'm like, it's a napkin, babe. You know what I mean?
So I guess really the joke's on me because I still married him.
That's
you know,
exactly
I should
right.
have, that should have been a lot of red flags in a row, but here we are.
Any questions? Seriously, anybody suffering with warfare, man, we're going to pray. I mean, I'm really, really learning how much it is warfare. It's off the charts. It's off the charts. And just for a flat tire, how do you handle that, you know? Yes.
So that's my main issue. But I've been under a lot of physical illness problems. And I know that is warfare because when I go and I worship, mm-hmm. like my name is going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yes.
That I have to put my arm. Like, what you do? Well, how you make a difference? Sometimes it's such a subtle thing that you don't know if it's me that I'm causing myself.
Man.
My mind?
Yes.
Or is there anything?
Yes.
Because because I don't want to give the enemy power.
Yes.
He doesn't have power like King. He lives and he's sitting in the throne. Mm-hmm. And I know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is those moments where you are so weak and so depleted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You make it like you say, that's you. That's him or it's me that I'm that or is what is it like?
Mm-hmm. Where do you make that line?
Yeah, I.
Can you repeat the question?
Oh.
Yeah, so she's struggling through certain things of warfare and physical stuff and everything. Where do you make it between the line of warfare and of you? Right? Is that good
like
enough?
Like our flesh. Yeah. And the warfare.
Yeah.
Is your fear?
Your fear.
Really something happening?
Or is it really something happening? You know what I mean?
It's both. I think it starts off like when we're weakened, that's when the enemy wants to come in and really start to undermine our ability to serve him and love him as we should. And I think it's both. Like I think that we do have these physical limitations and we have pain and we're tired, and then the enemy will come in and just exacerbate those things. You know, and it's the same answer, whether it's, you know, the flesh or the spirit. Spiritual thing happening. I think, you know, we go to the Word, we pray, we get with people to pray over us and pray with us, and go back to, you know, where am I? How am I grounded in the Lord? Am I rooted, you know, deep in Him, so that, you know, He can continue to walk me through this.
Yeah, the more and more I learn how to just move forward and forge forward, the more I love it, the more I understand it's more warfare than it is flesh. By just continuing to move and just persevere. Is there your hand up? Yeah, I thought you raised your hand up first.
I disagree with everything. And I'm going to say, when she just talked about flesh and spirit, my husband also works with addictions, and I'm understanding so much of what you're saying. But it happens in children's ministry. It happens in every ministry to different degrees. And I think that the strongholds are very real, but God is bigger, and He's already won the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said flesh and spirit, sow to the spirit. Keep sowing to the spirit, because you will reap life. Mm-hmm. If you sow to the flesh and give into the flesh, and the flesh might be the thing that is physically feeling the ailment, Christ has already won the battle.
Mm-hmm.
The battle is His. Like, we need to know the truth. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. And sin sometimes is that not even trusting God that He's got this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sow to the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keep sowing to the Spirit.
And like
always reap life, and eternal life, and life. And it's just He's stronger than any of that. He already won the battle.
Yeah.
You know, the helmet of salvation is a twofold thing. The helmet of salvation, the metaphor is a Christian armor of God puts that helmet on us to protect our minds from doubt and discouragement. But it says the helmet of salvation, the salvation joint in that whole thing is the confidence is that the Lord has already won the battle.
Right, we're fighting from a
That's
place
a two-part
of victory.
Thing.
Right, and just say, what is the truth?
Yep. I'll let everybody know what he's saying.
Oh, sorry. The flesh is the way in.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's not a difference, but the difference is when. It seems to be when. Like, you got started off and saying, like, where do you go? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And we, like, last summer, when I had the shop, when I actually lived there now, so he was apartment upstairs, I knew there was something going on, and I couldn't read it because I'm like, God gave me this place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
This up. But then I was like, well, of course that's where he's going to attack. Like,
yeah.
Satan tried to attack the church. Like,
yep.
You know, he's always discrediting Christ. And so I was just praying on it, and the Holy Spirit just made it clear, like, if you don't act on what you know, they're just like laughing, like,
right. If you don't act on what you know, then the demons and the minions and the devil's just laughing at it.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there talking about the guys, we avoided every room.
Boy, yeah.
Let the blood of Christ, like, things people would find, like, archaic or just dumb. You know what I mean? Even, like, Christians. And I'm like, listen, I trust the Word. Like,
Right.
Christians can't smell demons left and right. You know what I mean? In modernity, we look at everything as like chemicals. But this whole, it's like all the same. Like, so I'm just trusting God and all the things. My life looks absurd because of it. But it gets you through that. He's trying to wage war on me. And I have to believe that I'm a worthy target. Not because of me, but because of Christ.
Because of Christ, you're the worthy target.
My flesh is like, who do you think you are? It's so bizarre. You
know, it is.
Like, so I know like why you get so attacked. It's because you're a godly man. Because of God. But you're a man who's godly because of God.
Because
God
of Christ.
And right, and we're...
You got it, brother.
We're dead, but we're reborn in Christ.
We're born dead, we're reborn in Christ, and understand the truth.
Because you've got a target on you because of what Christ is doing in your life. It's always Jesus that's been accused by the same way. Be God is the
same.
So all this just makes so much sense.
Thank you, brother.
You rely on Kathy so much.
I rely on her.
God says in the Bible, it's in the first couple pages, but it's not good for man to be alone. But there you go. All these things make us, as Christians, it's... funny how it's the things that we should be resting on are the things that we're running from.
Yeah.
Like, because of our pride, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not anxiety.
Yep.
So these things should be dishonoring to you, to be honest
with you. Thank you. One more.
There were years ago I was struggling with drugs in California, and I had a rich uncle out there monetarily, and like the devil made me think there was something wrong with my neck and my spine. So I kept going to the chiropractor, and he was paying for it. And my parents, they didn't have the answers for me. So they'd send me to this chiropractor. And every time I was there, I would just cry. And eventually they said, you know, you can't come back because it's not physical. There's something mentally wrong with you. And we don't have the solution. And I didn't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil, he wants you to think it's something physically wrong with you. Satan is the father of all lies.
Yes, sir.
And he doesn't want you to think it's spiritual. He just wants you to think there's something physically wrong with you. And the world doesn't have an answer for what's physically wrong with you.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer to what is spiritually wrong with you, which is sin. And the fact that you're separated from him. And by the grace of God, he just kept sending people to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, God came to me and said, everything's going to be all right. And he said, I want to give you something. He said, I want to give you the Bible. And it changed my life.
Mm. He gave you eternal life.
Yeah, he fixed what was wrong with me, which was separation from a loving God, you know?
Yes.
And so, man, it's just go to God with everything.
What's your name, brother?
Court.
Corey?
Court.
Court. Court, I love you, brother.
Love you.
You want to you pray first and then I'll pray? We'll end. Sure. We got to end here. Yeah.
Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives, Lord. I just ask that you would help us to continually surrender any of our doubts or fears or any of the things that hold us back from you, Lord. I pray that you would give us eyes to see truth, that you would give us roots to go down deep so that when the storms do come, Lord, that we can do everything to stand with you. Lord, so I just ask that you would bless each one of these people here that are with children every week, Lord, that you would give them all that they need to minister to them, that you would empty them out, that you would fill them with your spirit, Lord, and that you would... again, just go before us always, Lord. We trust you. We love you. We know that you're in control, Lord. Just keep the lies away. Lord, guard our hearts and minds. We love you and trust you.
Father God, just build a wall of protection around all these people who serve in children's ministry, Lord God. Lord, put a wedge between them and Satan, Lord God. And Lord, sometimes if we doubt, especially me, like I'm the guy talking about it, Lord, that help us with our unbelief. We do believe, but maybe we don't believe as much as we should sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So forgive us for that when that hits, Lord God, but we know you, we love you, we're going to stick with the truth, we're going to stick with your word. And Lord, Keep all these families safe who take care of the other families, Lord. For everybody here, Lord, bless their kids, bless their grandkids, Lord God, and continue to give them strength that they can walk through this children's ministry and they can measure by the truth of your word for you to be glorified. And I pray for Brother Chris Clark. Bless my brother and his wife and the kids, Lord Jesus, and continue the work that you're doing in this whole children's ministry, Father. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.